Under Carl Staten.
I don't know which one of these bottles has been drank out of already.
Will it work for them? Maybe it will for me.
Thankful to be able to be here tonight. Been times this week I didn't think I would be. Been a whole lot more times I've tried to talk myself out of it. But here I am. And I'm thankful to be here this evening with you. Have this opportunity to speak this evening. Hope that you will be prayerful, because if you don't know it, I know it. I sure do need it right now. After that sparkling introduction by Brother Kevin, my good friend, already been warned how long-winded I am.
I say can be.
So just grab a hold of your seat and hang on. Lord have mercy. I need a little bit of levity to get over my nerves to get started. I want to challenge you for just a second. In the beginning, I asked you to join me in doing something that's extremely hard for me. Thinking. Following a consistent thought. Not just making a statement and letting it go with that and assuming that that's correct. Following it out, weighing it out, chasing the trails if you have to the logical consumption if there is one. I want to begin tonight with you and ask you to follow with me in some thoughts. This point of the meeting, after hearing so many things, told Brother Dove, even this evening, when the brother come out and told us we're speaking tonight, I said, it's amazing how confident you can be with a particular subject up to the point you're told it's your turn. And, well, I don't know if I'll talk about that or not. Well, I don't change horse in the middle of the stream because I can't swim, so. Join me, first off, to begin with. Read with me, and I want you to think, and I want you to listen before we end up in Acts chapter 19. Right now, I'm in John chapter 14, and I'm going to read two verses there. These are in red writing in my King James. Y'all supposed to say amen. Y'all help me out up here. I know it's been a long day. Some of you been here all day. Some of you just got here. Some of you been at work. Some of you been at school. Some of you been here. You're tired. You eat too much during the day. You're supposed to say amen, but you know you did. You have a tendency of taking a nap or nodding off. So work with me here, if you will. John 14, listen. These are the Lord's words. He says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you of all things. I won't just notice in passing. The Holy Ghost is not a thing. He's a person.
Amen.
He's God.
Right.
He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Not only is he going to teach you some things, he's going to remind you of some things. What things? Bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Whatever the Holy Ghost does when he comes, having been sent by God, is to remind you, by the way, he's coming in my name, Jesus says. And he's not only going to teach you things, he's going to remind you things. Whatsoever I have said, the Holy Ghost is not going to contradict the teachings and the words of Christ.
That's right. Right.
That's right. Amen.
It's going to be familiar ground, folks. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
It's not going to be some newfangled something that you haven't heard before. You're going to be refreshed and reminded and taught further in the things that you have already heard. Concerning Christ. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. This is the Lord Jesus Christ's statement concerning the Holy Ghost himself. I think I'm on safe ground to assume, and I hope that y'all will agree with me, that Jesus is an authority on the Holy Ghost. I mean, if my oldest grandson was here, I'd bug him. I'd say, well, duh. You reckon Jesus knows what the Holy Ghost is going to do? You think he knows what the Holy Ghost is going to be sent for? Do you think he knows what he's going to do when he gets here? I'm glad y'all will agree. Now join me, if you will, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. For a few verses of astonishing revelation from a Baptist preacher. Y'all ready? Everybody's found your text. You're all with me. Do y'all need some water? It'll make you talk funny. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. Be patient. I'm going to read a few verses. Listen to Paul. Now I beseech you, I implore you. Could I go so far as to say, he says, I beg of you. He's serious about this. Serious about this. I beseech you, brethren. We're not talking to heathens. We're not writing to infidels. We're writing to a church. Brethren. By the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing. That doesn't necessarily that you all be people of repetition in chant.
That's right.
More or less, it means for you get on the same page.
That's right.
So many of God's people are not even in the same book. Much less the same page. That you all speak the same thing, and that there be no, that there be no divisions among you. Is that pinchy? Does mean. But that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Can I just say in passing that the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's people in general, Old Testament and you alike, will testify to the fact that God's people never move forward unless they were of one mind and one accord.
Right.
As one man, Old Testament would say.
Right.
Fascinating thing. For it hath been declared unto me, if you somebody's telling on you, for it hath been declared unto me, of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe. Did y'all know that in every church there's a house of Chloe? Did y'all know that?
Oh, yeah.
And it don't take a bunch of members for there to be a Chloe in the bunch. Somebody's keeping records and informing the preacher. Sometimes they even feel it incumbent upon them to inform God, like he don't know. For it has been declared unto me, my brethren, by them which are of the house of glory, that there are contentions among you. There's the problem there in the church. Now listen. Now this I say, and I used to miss this. He doesn't say that there's some of you this way. Watch this. Now this I say, that every one of you saith. Every one of you saith. I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, and I'm of Cephas, I'm of Christ. Now, I know we're good, orthodox, sound, good, firm, traditional, old Baptist. And none of us would ever be guilty of having our favorite preachers. But you know, some of you have told off on yourself today already. Because I've been listening. Been listening. Some says that they're of Paul, some of Apollos, some of Cephas, and I of Christ. There was at least four factions. That's a good old Baptist word. At least four factions there in that one church. Can you imagine it? But listen to Paul. Is Christ divided? Is he divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Here's an astonishing statement about Baptist preachers. Just blow your mind. Yeah. I thank God that I baptized none of you. And I read that just like I think he said. I thank God that I baptized none of you. But Crispus Gaius. Lest any should say that I had baptized in my own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanas. And besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. Listen, Paul didn't keep a running tally of baptisms.
He did not.
You don't forget that. For Christ sent me not to baptize. Wow. But to preach the gospel. What a statement. What a statement. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. It's not about the preacher.
Nope.
It ain't about the church. It ain't about baptism. It's about Christ.
Amen.
It's about the cross of Christ. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, not being saved.
Right.
To which are saved, it is the power of God. Wow. Now, can I ask you this? Would you, you got me snake bit with this clock.
I ain't George.
What? Somebody called time on me. Would y'all agree with me and grant me from this, at least from this, that the Apostle Paul is an authority on baptism? Y'all not near as agreeable about that as you was Father Go with the Lord about the Holy Ghost. Paul is writing by inspiration of God. This is his inspired, infallible, inerrant, preserved word to us. When I read it to you tonight off of this English page right up here, it's just exactly the way God gave it to Paul to record it.
That's right. Amen.
Amen, brother.
And he says, God did not send me to baptize.
Right.
but to preach the gospel. I say Paul is an authority on the importance of baptism and of the gospel.
Yes.
Some of you agree. Acts chapter 19. And we shall conclude our comments there tonight. My wife was here, she'd tell you, that means you're going to be here. I'm not trying to scare you, I'm trying to get a little grace here. Listen to this. Okay, so now we've got statements of the authority of Jesus himself concerning the Holy Ghost. Who's sent him? Whose name he comes in? What he's going to do when he gets here? You okay with that? Okay. Paul has made statements concerning why he was sent. Who commissioned him? Well, I would say that's God. And how he speaks by inspiration. That he has authority. He understands the purpose of the gospel. He knows the importance of baptism. And baptism is important. Never think that it's not. But Paul understands where baptism ranks with the gospel.
Sure.
Right. Acts chapter 19. And it came to pass. Don't you love that? And there was a day, and here's how it was. There was a time, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. Y'all ever heard of Ephesus? You ever heard of Ephesus? You ever heard of the church at Ephesus? Y'all been hearing a lot from Ephesians chapter 1. A lot of that discussed. You've heard of the church at Ephesus and Revelation chapter 3. If you've heard of Brother Timothy, the young pastor, he was the young man commissioned and called and was, history tells us, perhaps the first pastor of the church at Ephesus. Ephesus, big deal. And Paul comes to Ephesus. And finding certain disciples. I don't miss that. Paul comes to Ephesus. And when he gets to Ephesus, y'all do the history on this. Apollos had been there before him, preaching at Ephesus. At the church at Ephesus. You got to quote Sonny Powell somewhere along that. Brother Sonny says every time that a preacher says that, if I don't have time to elaborate on that, that means if he had all night, he couldn't tell you what it meant. I'm just going to tell you, I don't have time to talk about all the things I would love talking to you about. And I'm saying this, and I'm sincere in this. I'm being serious about this. I don't have time to dot all the I's and cross all the T's and be perfectly orthodox to please everybody's fancy tonight. And I just go ahead and just confess to you, I ain't here to please your fancy.
Right.
I want to tell you what this says.
Yes.
And I want to tell you this by the authorized word of God, and I trust that that's the case. And if this is Carl, don't you take it. I will admonish you. I will encourage you. You do not take this that I say, nor any other of these brethren that spoke to you already in this meeting, or will, simply because they said it.
Right.
If the word of God will not substantiate it and back it up and confirm what is being said, you have no part of it. Leave it alone.
Amen.
You drop it like a hot rock, run from it like the plague. But I hope to, by the authority of what we've already said, on the authority of what the Holy Ghost and who he is and what he's to do from Jesus. Baptism and its place and the gospel and its purpose from Paul. And this is Paul. And here he is at Ephesus I believe at the church at Ephesus. He says he found some disciples. Disciples of what? Where's my grandson? Duh. Disciples of what? Followers of those that have been taught. I understand from the text and from the context you follow it out. These are disciples that had heard Apollos preach while he was there, right, and had been believed and had been, I believe they're part of the church at Ephesus. This is pretty phenomenal stuff. And Paul, he says, and he said unto them, unto the disciples, he came across at Ephesus, he says this. Can you imagine a preacher asking church folks this? And he said unto them, listen to him, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we've not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Man, what are you talking about? We ain't so much as even heard there was such thing. What are you talking about? Can you imagine church folks never having heard of the Holy Ghost? Well, maybe you've heard that. Can you imagine church folks that don't have a clue of who he is? Or what he's supposed to do? Or what he's going to do? Or what he was sent to do? And if he's been there, do you know it? Oh, that was a powerful spiritual meeting. How did you know? How did you know? Watch. We've not so much as heard that whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were ye baptized? Man, what a question. And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance. Listen. He doesn't say, well, now, well, right there's your problem. Right there's your problem. You've got John's baptism, and that's all wrong. Invalid. No. There's something wrong there. By the way, can I tell you that Jesus was baptized by John?
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. And when Jesus was questioned upon his authority while he was here, you know the very thing that he brought up to verify his own authority? He said, well, then I'll ask you a question. The baptism of John, was it of heaven or of men? Mm-hmm. And they said, well, we can't answer that. We won't answer that. Right. And he said, well, then neither do I answer you. He pretty much told him, you've already got your answer.
Yeah.
Well, neither do I tell you by what authority that I say and do these things. Jesus based his authority or verified his authority by the baptism of John. And more or less to say that the same one that sent John sent me.
Right.
Our authority is one and the same. It's of God. Paul doesn't contradict that. Watch it. He said, then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him, which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. Watch. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. What? Preacher, you're trying to tell me? Y'all ever heard about this stuff before? You mean tell me that these people were baptized again? You say it any way you want to, but it says they were baptized. And Paul was questioning them on their baptism. They had already been baptized. Oh, but you told us they were already in the church at Ephesus. I think they were.
Mm-hmm.
Do you mean tell us, stand up here on Saturday night, last thing here that we got to listen to tonight after all this other, is you think that there are people in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ that have been baptized, and they might be something that they could learn that would move them to want to be baptized? Now, some of you are smiling and some of you are looking scared, and y'all are making me nervous. Let me just ask y'all a question. And y'all went to school, when a teacher asked you a question, you know what? They expected an answer. Y'all ever, I'm assuming that I'm talking to people that have been baptized. Any of y'all ever been baptized? Why? Any of y'all Baptists? You ever been baptized? You ever been baptized more than once?
Yep.
Yeah? Have you ever been baptized once, two or three, four times? I remember brother from out in the Philippines saying, his children asked him, Daddy, are we going to have to get baptized again? He said, this is the last time. Seven times. Finally got it right again. But have you ever been somewhere during the course of the meeting, of the preaching, or whatever it was, have you ever just all of a sudden been so overwhelmed by what you was hearing again, being reminded again, being taught further of things that you'd already known, but now you're being told more, and you're being reminded of what you've already heard about Christ, and all of a sudden, under the power and the movement of all of that, I tell you what, if I hadn't already joined the church and been baptized, I'd do it again.
Yeah,
right now. Any of you ever been that way? Well, don't sit there and just look at me like that. Have you ever done that? Has the Lord ever moved you again?
Amen.
You want to do that? Now, here's something to lock our jaw to recommit. Oh, no. You make out of this whatever you want to. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, I don't notice a bunch of argument there.
No.
I don't see a bunch of dialect between them. Well, now, wait a minute, Paul. We've already been baptized before. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. In the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied, and all the men were about 12. And you say, okay, we done heard about all of that. And as I said, I'm not here to debate with you, to talk to you, to try to prove to you that I think I know something that you don't know, and all of this and what went on when he laid his hands on all of them. But let me just say it this way, and if you want to question my orthodoxy and talk to me about it further, you see me after services tonight, because I'll have a whole lot longer than you will too, and everybody else can go on. But when they heard what Paul had to say, they were moved to be baptized. And when they were baptized, Paul put his hands on them. Mm-hmm. And they received what he had asked them if they already had.
Right.
Since they had believed. And they started talking different.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I told you, I'm not going to debate with you about a bunch of gibberish. And I'm not trying to be insulting. I'm just trying to be plain. I'm not going to debate with you about a bunch of stuff that can't be understood and can't be told and all this, because the Bible tells me Paul, the same authority, said it to that same church at Corinth, in Corinthians chapter 14, that tongues are not for believers. They're for unbelievers. They're assigned to those that don't believe. It's not for believers. He also says, and the words that he uses them, and like I said, see me afterwards. If we're going to use the same dictionary, I've heard that. The word tongues is languages. Somebody thinks I already mentioned it. David, don't I repeat it to you again? I'll tell you again. The mystery of Pentecost was not that those 120 thereabouts that came out of that upper room, out into the streets, men and women. It wasn't that those that came out of that upper room were talking in such a way that they were talking in languages that they'd never known or never heard. Somebody's already said it. They were speaking the wonderful works of God.
Yes.
They were declaring the wonderful, marvelous grace and mercy and actions of God. There was a salvation of his people in the streets of Jerusalem. And there were people there, what, some 11 to more than that, different nations and nationalities and countries all from all around gathered there, devout people.
Right.
Devout people. Can I say it this way? Church people. There's at least 11 to 12, sometimes somebody says 17 different denominations there standing around in the streets of Jerusalem. There were thousands there. Right. But when this ragtag bunch came out of that upper room out into the street, on fire for God.
Right.
Their excitement spread like wildfire through that city, and it wasn't that they were not talking in such a way that they didn't understand. What they were saying was being understood.
Oh, amen.
What they were saying was being understood. The message was common. It was the same thing to them all, and wherever they were from, whatever their background was, whatever their raising, whatever their ethnicity, is that the right way to say that? Whatever their race, whatever their background, they heard God's grace.
Amen.
Amen. And the power of God through the Holy Ghost to them was, is not that they couldn't understand it and marveled. They did understand it. They got it.
Yes.
It got it. How do I know they got it? Then they gladly received. We're baptized. Oh, but that's not yet. Mm-hmm. When they heard what these were saying to them, they cried out unto them, "Men, brethren, what shall we do?" They were convicted of their sins. When Peter stepped up that day and there were some mockers in the streets and says, "Oh, you don't understand this. This is nothing to be paid any attention to." They don't know what they're talking about. They're a bunch of drunks.
Right.
Brother Peter stood up and said, "No, they're not drunks. As you suppose, it being only the third night." Yeah, whatever. Night. About 9 o'clock in the morning. He said, any self-respecting drunk still passed out right now. They're not at this already. It's too early in the morning for them to be up and out and about. These ain't drunk. This is that spoken of by the prophet Joel. This is that promise. This is exactly what God said he was going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Then in the latter days, I'll pour out of my spirit on my servants and my handmaidens. They're going to speak and they're going to talk. My goodness, and they're being heard. This is the power of God being revealed
right
in front of you. This is that. This is not the beginning of it. This is that. This is prophecy coming to fruition right in front of you.
Yes.
God's word is being revealed and fulfilled right in your face today is what's going on. And when they heard this, as Peter began to continue to preach and tell them to save themselves from this untoward generation, as he spoke of the things of Christ, as he spoke of the life of Christ, as he spoke of the things that Christ came to do and his purpose of coming, and he spoke in him, told them and convicted them that ye have taken and with
cruel
hands have crucified the Lord of glory. But this same Jesus whom ye've put to death, you put him to death, God has raised him up and made him both Lord and King.
Yeah. Amen.
And when they heard this, they cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Brother Peter said, to devout religious people,
Right.
Repent. You want to know what to do? Repent. Change your ways of thinking.
Yes.
Change your ways of doing. And be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, and somebody's already said, "Well, but this is not just to you. But this is to you and to your children, your children's children, and them that's far off, and as many as the Lord our God shall call." And with many other words did he exhort them, saying, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." And then they which gladly received his word, they wouldn't
hollering around about it. They wouldn't have grumbling about it. They wouldn't. I imagine you was having a bigger time trying to keep them out of the water than you was to get them to it. They might have even been like a bunch of little kids. Me next, me next, me next. I was here first. Me God wait. They were ready. Then they that gladly received the word were baptized. And that day were about 3,000 souls added. Wow. That's an awesome thing, ain't it?
Yeah.
You know, I thought about all of that, and the other day this hit me. Isn't it amazing? Maybe y'all are not like me. And maybe you're hoping you're not. I thought about this passage of Scripture here that I just read to you in this occasion here in Acts 19. And it astonished me that you know most of the time that I've heard this discussed, preached about, debated, conversation over it, is immediately run to the baptism part of it. And it's wanted to be used for a verification of a rebaptism. Y'all know I'm telling you the truth, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do any of you preachers, do y'all ever have any problem in discussion with people on baptism and rebaptism? Do you ever have any problems with that? I do. I have a perpetual problem. It's one of the biggest problems that I face in trying to talk to folks and trying to get them in the old church. It's baptism. Whether they've been baptized or yes, you know. And y'all grant me the grace of believe me for just a little bit of leeway. That I go into all the illustrations of what baptism represents and what it is and all this kind of stuff, and I try to sell them on all that, and I do, you know, but there's not many buyers. Because they're convinced that their baptism is the way that it is. And I'm trying to talk them out of it. And this hit me. Paul didn't try to talk them out of there. He asked them a question that was the priority in his thinking. Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? Well, let me ask y'all that tonight. And let me say it the way that we would say it. Since you joined the old church, got baptized, been in the old church for 40 years, right where I've always been, never changed. Something wrong with that. You'd match the pews in most places. They've never changed either. Old Baptists proved that too, because they've never changed places they sat on them pews. Mercy. But since you've been here, since you joined, since you believed, have you received the Holy Ghost? Have you?
Yeah, amen.
Have you received the promise of the Holy Ghost? I believe the Lord is a authority on the Holy Ghost.
Right.
And I believe that what he's talking, Paul is asking them about, is the very thing that Jesus said the Holy Ghost was going to do when he comes. I believe that. And when they said they've not so much as even heard there was one, that answered the question. Evidently, no, we haven't received him. We haven't heard about this. We haven't got this far yet. And then he asked the question relating to that. And it's interesting. Your baptism is related to what you believe.
Right.
It is directly connected to what you believe. They said, we've not so much as even heard there was a Holy Ghost. Notice how he says it. Unto what then were ye baptized? Then what did you believe? What did you submit to? What did you connect yourself to?
What did you join?
That's right.
When you were baptized, you identified yourself with something. Mm-hmm. Well, what was it? Well, they said it was the baptism of John. But Paul didn't immediately go into a dissertation to tell them of the fallacy of John's baptism. He didn't try to unsell them on what they already had.
Right.
He presented something better.
Right.
He said John's baptism was verily, it was true. It had authority. It was of God. And at the time of its authority and place, it was exactly what was supposed to be. It was repent. After 400 years of silence from God, this snappy dresser, connoisseur of the finest meals. I remember preaching this one time years ago. There was a little girl in the house sitting far away back there, and you think kids ain't listening to you. I said something about this snappy dressing color wearing this here camel's hair, this old rough camel's hair and leather girdle. He was a connoisseur of the finest meals of the day. Might have even had a grasshopper or a locust leg still hanging off his beard. You know, fellas, you guys got them beards. You all don't see everything while you're eating sometimes with you.
You need to.
That's why I'm doing this. It's bad enough with mustache. With milk and such. And I said, well, he might have even had a locust leg hanging off the bottom side of his beard. And this little girl said back, she said, hey. She was listening. And by the way, that don't mean the beans off the locust plant. He ain't locust.
Right.
Washed him down with honey. Okay. Had to. But this fine fella out of complete abject silence from God all of these years in those days comes up out of the wilderness into Jerusalem, the city of God, the place and the people of God, into Israel, God's people that's got the word, that's got the truth, that knows this, that know that they know that they know that they're right. Sound like anybody? And his first great words to him is, repent! And when the leader of their religion comes out to him and demands baptism of him. They came out to his baptism. He was baptized in Jordan. They come out there to be baptized. Well, they'd already had 630 something additions to God's law in their own way of thinking. What's one more?
Rotten.
Go ahead and baptize. If this gets us in better fellowship and holds us with God, well then you know, let this funny looking fella dunk us. We're going to do that. And here's another astonishing thing about a Baptist preacher. And you say, you don't know he's a Baptist. John the Baptist, come on. You won't talk to me about original Baptist. He is the original Baptist.
Right.
And that ain't a denomination.
Right.
But that's what he did. That's what he was sent of God to do.
Yeah.
But when these religious people comes out to his baptism and begins to reason with him and question to him, he says, what a politically correct thought. Can you imagine how long he would have lived in our woke society? Lord help. Well, I'm glad to see you people here with me today. I'll be sure to put you to the front of the... No, he said, you generation of vipers. You want that broke down here? You sons of snakes. Y'all thought I was going to say something. You sons of snakes. Offsprings of devils. Who's warned you to flee? What are you afraid of? You got it figured out. You bring forth fruits, meat for a bit. You go do something to show. Bring some proof. Show it. Prove it. That you've changed the way that you think about yourself. Prove to me that you understand that you're a sinner. And we'll get on with this baptism. He refused them. It wasn't all about numbers and baptisms to John.
Really?
Wow. Y'all starting to see a pattern? And I thought about this, and here's Paul coming over here to Ephesus. And he says,
Under what then were you baptized? But it didn't dawn on me. This is the man that had told Corinth what he did about their baptism. And he thanked God that he hadn't baptized him yet. He wasn't concerned about baptism. He's concerned about the gospel. Let me say it this way. I'm not concerned about filling pews. I am concerned about the people on the pews being filled.
Right. Amen.
I'm concerned about the gospel being preached. I'm concerned about those of you that are here tonight in whatever circumstance that you have. I'm here to save your soul.
Right.
Can you believe I said that? You say, well, I can believe you said that because you ain't right anyway, but we don't need no savior. Well, let me tell you this. I've known some of you for a while, and I recognize your faces, whether I remember your names or not. I have to wear a tag most of the time to remember mine. But I'm convinced of this much. I know I need saving.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And I'm convinced that probably there ain't a soul in this house here tonight in some way, in some form, and somehow, whether it's on your job or with your conditions at home, whether it's in your marriage or whether it's with your family or whether it's with your finances or whether it's what you believe right. In your arrogancy about what you think you know about God. I think God laughs at us sometimes and say, why don't you tell me about me?
Right.
You know so much about me, tell me about
mm-hmm.
me. You say, well, you'd never do that. Job. Who is this that darkens counsel with words without knowledge? Mm-hmm. Stand up now, Job, like a man, and I'm going to ask the questions. And Job says, well, now, you know, Lord, I had three or four pages wrote out here, but now I've heard of you, and now I see you, and you know what? I think I'm going to... And somebody mentioned this, and this is exactly right. And God lays it out to him. You know, somebody, where was you?
Right.
When I put the stars up, and God named the stars. Do you know he knows the names of every one of them? Don't you love that in Genesis when he says he created all these things and the stars also?
Mm-hmm.
And the stars also. But he named every one of them, and he knows their name. Well, where was you when I done that? You know so much, and I stand and I tell you.
Right.
Well, when I done this, where was you at? Well, I wasn't there. You know that? Well, that's the point. You were there. And Job starts to get, comes to the point where he says, you know, I think it got to get, well, God's not done yet. He's not done yet. He keeps on. And finishes his words to say, don't try to interrupt God. And when Paul comes to Ephesus, he's far more concerned with who baptized. Less concerned. We need to get it right. Less concerned with who is baptized and who is not. And who did their baptism and when it was, and whether it was an association or whether it was my old brother so-and-so, you know. And I wouldn't want to do that again, you know, because that would offend him. He's been dead for 30 years. But I wouldn't want to offend his memory, and then some of his family's still here, you know. Preacher, you're being terrible. I'm being honest.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I'm being honest. You know what? We need to get over ourselves.
Amen.
Get over it. And when Paul comes to Ephesus here, his concern is not whether or not they've been baptized and who baptized them. And he'd probably tell them if he told them, well, that's what I figured. You's one of them Peterites anyway. And I thank God I didn't baptize you and I ain't got to worry with you on that. He wasn't concerned about any of that. But he did have a concern. Brethren, my heart's desire to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God. They're on fire for God. They're seeking God. They're looking for God. They're inquiring of God. These are God's people. They have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness. Sounds a little bit like John preaching to them,
Really? And it has its place. That they need to repent. And they need to do this. He reasoned with the soldiers and told them to be happy with their wages and do it. Friends, what Paul was concerned with them is a knowledge that far surpasses just your daily cares and walks in life. But he was concerned with that. But he's saying there's something far more important than that. That once it's understood, and if you've ever experienced it, if you can be reminded of it and have not forgot that you've purged from your old sins, if you're willing to add to your faith all of these things, there is a glorious, abundant entrance ministered unto you into the everlasting kingdom of our God. Friends, I'm telling you, Peter names off there in that first chapter. What is that, 2 Peter? Yeah, it's time for me to quit. I know. He names off the keys to the kingdom. And it's a combination lock. And you got to add this click and this click and add this click and add this click and add this click. And the doors to the kingdom open. And you see Jesus. Do you remember when you saw him? Have you ever seen him? Oh, come on now.
Amen.
You ever seen Jesus?
I believe so. Yeah.
Asked you if you've been baptized, you wouldn't even answer that, so I don't guess I'd be shocked by that. But if you've ever seen the Lord, seen him as Savior, I remember it well, and I close with this. Wife says that means 10 more minutes. Okay. I'm closing now. Is any of this making any sense to you?
Amen.
All this and that. Why did I get hung up on baptism? Why did I get hung up on what the Holy Ghost is or what it's not? Why don't I just acknowledge what Jesus said the Holy Ghost is and just run with it?
Amen.
And get over myself and thank God for it. Because I know that it's far more effective in my life and lifts the burdens of my days. It helps me in my understanding. It makes me a better husband. It makes me a better dad. It makes me a better employee. It makes me a better boss if I was one. It makes me better in anything and everything that I do. It makes me better at thanking God for everything because I see Him in everything that I do. Mm-hmm. Friends, I was baptized when I was 13. Yes, sir, in the old church. Yes, sir. I was on fire about it too. And immediately confronted with the fact the next day that none of my friends was impressed. We've done that too. Big deal. I suppose, and I'm being honest, what shocked me the worst is about a week or two after I was baptized, all them people in the church that was crying and happy that I come in, it was like, okay, he's done next. That's sad.
Yeah,
that's sad. That's sad. Y'all know what I've done in my teen years. I went astray. I remember about where I was sitting, ordained to the ministry, pastor to church. Remember right exactly where I was sitting. This text was quoted. Give me the courage to go ahead and talk to y'all tonight, whether you get it or not. I remember right exactly when I heard for the very first time for a staunch traditional squeak when I walked good orthodox old Baptist generational. Old Baptist pastor in the church, had been for a few years, sitting there on the bench. I had already tried to speak that morning, had spoke on Romans 8, 29 and 30. And then asked Don Ferris what he thought about what I said. And he told me, can you imagine that? And then he got up that afternoon and took his text, John 1:9. John seeing Jesus walking along. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And you know what? I didn't give a flip about arguing with you about John 3:16, what world it was. I wasn't worried about what all it was and who it affected. And it wasn't a generalized salvation. It wasn't just a blanket net fold out over a particular group of people.
That day, the gospel was the power of God unto salvation. And it came to me. And I knew who the sinner was. And I knew who the Savior was. And I couldn't have told you if there was anybody else in that house.
Right.
It was like when the sermon was over, I'll never forget this part. Elder Stumbold was sat beside me and he reached over, hit me on the leg. That was the first thing that woke me up. He hit me on the leg and he said, I don't know what I was doing. I might have forgot I was a Baptist. I might have been shouting, jumping up and down. I don't know what I was doing. I was so engrossed in that because first time in my life, I understood. I understood. I heard. I was taught and reminded of the things of Christ again, but in such a powerful way that I never had before. And it resonated in my soul. And I tell you what, if I hadn't already been baptized, they'd been running some water. And I tell you what, even to this good day, if I could talk another preacher into doing it, I'd show some of our folks at home how it's done. Because I'd have dunked me right now. But I understood who it was. Brother Stumbo hit me on the leg and I come to myself like the prodigal. And he said, boy, I believe you like that. I said, I don't know what I was doing. It's a good thing we wasn't live streaming then. I might have a lot of things to explain for him. He said, I believe you liked it. I said, liked it. My God. That's the best thing I ever heard.
Amen.
Amen. Because now I know who Jesus is.
Amen.
Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Have you forgot what Jesus did for you? Do you know what an undone sinner you are? That heaven will never be yours by your efforts or on your own? That when he hung on that cross, he hung there for you. It was your sin that nailed him there. It was your sin that held him there. It was your sin that was removed and paid for when he said, it's finished. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And God went up with a shout. Victorious. 3 days and three nights later, God brought him out of that tomb because it was not able to hold him. Peter says he's begotten us again to a lively hope of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, the resurrection of Jesus Christ never regenerated a soul.
No.
It declares what was done on the cross. Effective. Done. Complete. On my case. And my hope is that when he comes again, and he's coming, that he's going to call. Job says, I'm the answer. He's going to have a desire for the work of his hands. I'm not so much concerned with being theologically correct with all of you on your baptism, so that we can talk about all that the rest of the night. I'm taking too long. I apologize. But I am concerned with you. I want you to have what God can give me.
Amen.
This earthen vessel has got a treasure in it, and it belongs to you. I'm a debtor. I just made a payment.